When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We were having a conversation I'm very interested in, guys, about Richard Williams and his daughters, two of the greatest tennis players who ever lived, Serena and Venus. And, I mean, Serena just got so huge. People forget about how dominant Venus was, I think, originally. And also Tiger Woods and issues of race. First of all, what you said, I can't wait to see the movie now. And I'm thinking, like, Will Smith playing that character may have, when he, like, he's already in the frame of mind, like, I'm not taking anything
from
anyone.
That's why he slapped
Chris Rock. Right. And it seems that way to me.
I don't think Richard was running around slapping people.
No, and he denounced it, by the way. He denounced it afterwards.
But I'm talking about that place of, you know, how prideful he is about his family.
Guys, you know what else?
That's where, yeah.
You know what really struck me, Key, as you were going through, and Jay highly recommended the movie, as you were going through the things he did and teaching his daughters foreign languages and teaching them a sport out of a book and the whole thing, like, just as a parent, it's one thing to say you love your family. It's another thing to live that. The response, my late great brother Sam used to say, when people say love, they really mean like. When they say like, they mean love, rather. I love being around. When they say love, they mean responsibility. I'm responsible for this person. I think, like, I'm so tired by 7, 8 o'clock at night. I'm up at 3:30 in the morning, and I make sure to have my daughters read, like, I have them read me certain books to go, and I'm, like, falling asleep. When I think of someone like Richard Williams, I'm embarrassed by my, like, this dude is next level
he was on
parenting.
He was a night shift patrol officer. And with literally, this is in the, you know, Key has better reference points because he's actually lived it with him. But it's like in the movie, they would show him literally practicing with the girls at night in Compton, literally fighting off gang members and then bringing them home, having dinner with his family and then leaving to work the night shift as a patrol officer and then come back the next day and do it all over again.
It's one of the greatest American stories. This is like a great man.
And a lot of people, you know, which is weird in sports because you see all sorts of parents try and duplicate what Richard Williams as well as Tiger Dad was able to do with their kids since birth, raised them basically. Tennis rackets were born. He put tennis rackets in their hands when they were born. The same thing with Tiger. Richard basically created this whole world of tennis for his family. He purposely had the girls immediately and said, as soon as they were born, they're going to be tennis stars. Like, immediate, like at 2 months years old.
Manifest, man.
And I love the fact that, and we were talking about race, the Williams sisters are identifiable racially on site immediately. They've lived that experience in many respects in terms of the neighborhood they come from, the whole thing. And Richard Williams pointed them to, like, the whitest sport there is like, uh-uh, we're not going to be excluded from that.
At all.
That's amazing. Tiger Woods has certain similarities in his story and other differences in the story.
And some of those differences are, again, Tiger Woods was raised in Orange County, California. Very white, very affluent neighborhood. Went to Stanford. And what happens with Tiger Woods is we, as a black community, we accept him in his golf. There's other things that blacks don't accept from other blacks when you look up. Like, we accept the tennis. I mean, not the tennis, the golf. Mm-hmm. We love the fact that he plays golf. But what happened with Tiger Woods along the way is because a lot of people don't really understand, he's born and raised in Orange County. In Orange County, there's not a whole lot of black neighborhoods and different things like that. Well, where's his golf center at? It's in Orange County. It's not in South L.A. It's not in Compton. So people automatically exclude him from those black conversations. Not only that, whenever you see Tiger Woods and you see his camp of people, there's really no blacks around. Wow. Where when you see Venus and Serena, there's plenty of blacks around. So that's why Tiger Woods get a certain rap versus the Williams sisters.
But you know what the challenge to that is, though? It's like, obviously kids are viewing things different these days. But, you know, look, I'm from Plainfield, New Jersey. I came from an era that was all black and Latino. But going to school and accomplishing what I've been able to accomplish, like now the area I'm in is there are a lot of times I'm the only black guy around.
Well, you going to be the only black dude around.
World-class athletes, but, you get that a lot, right?
Man,
listen,
what?
Bust to a school, yeah.
Listen to my point. But now my kids, like I have to do it intentful. Like I have to bring you to an area
absolutely.
That is more like I was raised. And I have to get you very comfortable and make you have friends that more had an upbringing like me so you can understand about where I came from and about what community actually looks like. Because if you don't do that with intent, then you grow up, Key, having predominantly, because that's the area that you're mostly in.
It's the reality.
So like for your kids, like how does that, because I look at Tiger Woods and his dad, like his dad put him in that situation. And that's what we all want, right? We all want to come up and rise and achieve
absolutely.
To a degree. But when you do that, then that's the kind of challenge that we have when you raise our kids. Like how do you get your kids more influenced by the culture? You have to do it intently.
Well,
because you're not around it every single day. Like, are your kids around it every single day in their neighborhood now?
I have mixed kids. I have a white wife, and our kids are mixed. But what we try and do is we put them in diverse school to start with. So they got black friends, Latino friends. They got it all. They got Jewish friends, Muslim friends. They got it all. So they're not lacking anything. And then if they want to see a little more grit, come with daddy and take this ride when I go get my hair cut. You got to see my son sometimes. Yeah, I'm laughing because my son, he'll look at somebody when we get out the car. Oh, he going to come around on my side of the car and stand. Boy, get move. Standing right by me.
Even like, in the barbershop. Even in the barbershop. Dad, what's he doing with that straight razor?
Man,
he got a straight razor.
They're not going to do anything to you.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything
to
you.
By the way, I was born in the Bronx. Both my parents from the South Bronx. But I grew up fine. I grew up downtown New York, right? But growing up in New York, when I grew up, you're exposed to everything.
Everything. Yes,
but my kids are growing up in a different level of affluence.
Yes.
As much as you talk to them, as much as you send them to places where you choose that school because there is a certain element of diversity and
yes,
a certain open-mindedness,
absolutely.
It's still not the same.
Agreed.
So, you know,
that's
like,
Tiger Woods.
And what am I going to do?
You know
drive
them
to the projects? Hey, look at this, kids. No, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? What are you, a tourist?
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to do that.
Tourist. But what happens, though, like I tell people, like you were saying, Jay, you out there and you're pretty much the only black dude in your neighborhood. I mean, we got blacks because we got athletes and entertainers and stuff like that around my neighborhood.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's the same.
But – When you look at it, and I tell people all the time, I'm not living in South Central LA no more. Damn my kids. So I'm going to be out in the suburbs where I can smell the clean air and it looks good and I can walk and get me something to eat. I understand that, but I also have to educate my kids so they don't get so lost and not understand this is the way life really is. Because where we're at is Disneyland. It's the greatest thing in the world. And that's where a lot of the times athletes that are raised a certain way get lost because they don't go back and reach back in to get an understanding of their true values and where they're from.
But, Keith, this is where it happens, and it happened with Mike McDaniel, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, when he's like, oh, I am both black and white. Yes,
yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
you are
that.
Both black yeah. and white. But you know how the black community feels about that? Like, oh, no, like, we want you to accept it and say that you are
one of us. No, it's interesting. Like, when Chappelle,
okay with that.
When Chappelle did racial draft.
Yeah, but some people, you know, Key, ain't everybody okay with that?
No, but I'm okay.
Because if you look at some people label you how they see you.
No, I understand
right?
that.
So, like, for Mike McDaniel, he's way more fair-skinned. So, like, there may not have been the same.
He can so-called pass. And so right away, you're not visually identified and therefore
black,
treated
exactly.
differently
exactly.
all the time as soon as people see you. But the reason I bring up the racial draft with Chappelle, I found it so interesting. And now that we're talking about it.
Racial draft.
Because I'll tell you why. Because sometimes, remember the idea of the racial draft is every race gets to draft someone who's maybe not completely a part of that race. I think it was Chinese drafted the Wu-Tang
Clan,
right? And the Jews drafted Lenny Kravitz, who's half Jewish, right? Oh, we wanted the whole thing. But the point is that sometimes what you want is the is the person that defies stereotype. Because once you put your arms around that, it's like, look, you can't box our group in. Because here's an example of someone. And sometimes it's, even if it is a stereotype, but it's an example of excellence, so you're proud, right? Tiger Woods, the Williams sisters, defied stereotype. And
yes.
Richard Williams made sure of that, yeah. right? There is a difference that I have even observed and experienced in terms of the level to which, for example, no one's letting the Williams sisters go anywhere in a racial draft. Nowhere, right? Nowhere. I want to say, was Tiger Woods' name even mentioned in that draft? His name may have come up in that Chappelle racial draft,
what, he
right?
Didn't get drafted
I always
or
wanted to say this.
Yeah.
For Shizzle.
Yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah,
see, right.
See,
right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's the draft. Right,
for Shizzle.
Yeah. Yep. In other words, they're making commentary about, yes, you may defy stereotype, but there are other aspects of you, your personality, your experience, that a member of another group may say, you know what, I'm not so sure that this makes me feel good to put my arms around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like, being black is not being monolithic, right?
Of course not.
Like, but that's I think that's a challenging subject when we look at some things about accepting. Or like, even, I think for Tiger, it's like wanting him to accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tiger, I think he accepts that. He knows that. But in the end, it has not been a public display
yes.
of his. So therefore, the majority, in my opinion, of the black community celebrates the success of the golf, but not necessarily the success outside of the golf.
Whereas with the Williams sisters, you celebrate
you do both.
All
you want
of the above.
Tennis, you want the people, you yes. want the representation, you want everything about it. Let's put our arms around this. You can't have this. There are aspects of Tiger Woods that, at least in that Chappelle skit, touched on something culturally. It said there's some parts of this we don't want.
Let me see how you make this turn, Max.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, how are we going to transition to that? I'm just going to do
pivot.
It.
Hard pivot.
That nice turn.
I like talking about basketball. How's that? Brian Windhorst, the ESPN NBA insider, is with us. What's up, Wendy?
Good morning, guys.
What's happening, man?
Wendy, what's going on in L.A.? Like, what's the game plan moving forward for the Lakers, and how do they fix it?
So, look, here's the reality. I think a lot of people in L.A. think that this is a catastrophe, and it's an incredible letdown. And here's what I'm about to soberly say. What if it's not that big of a disappointment? You know, when AD, Russ, and LeBron played together this year, it was 21 games, okay? They were 11-10. Even when they were whole, they were only average. And that's where the problem is right now. The problem is right now is this season was a disaster, and they are handcuffed in what they can do about it. LeBron's first year in L.A., the season didn't work. The signings that they made didn't work, and they had to flush the roster and start over. But at the time, they had all their draft picks. They had a bunch of young players on the roster, like Brandon Ingram, who was really valuable, and they had cap space. Now they have none of that. They have no cap space. They have no draft picks to actually use. Only a couple they can trade. Russell Westbrook's value in the market is non-existent. And they've got like 9-10 free agents. Like, they're going to have to retrofit this team without any money to spend on. That's what is so upsetting. You know, like, you would look at the Brooklyn Nets and you'd say, boy, they have had a rough season. You know, injuries and drama. And they're 3 games over .500. The Lakers are 17 games under .500. They are 4-17 since the All-Star break, and LeBron has played most of those games. That is your real problem.
See, Wendy, I like the way you started off, that it wasn't that big of a deal. But by the time you got to the end, if I could turn red, I would. Here's the Lakers' problem, and this is why most of us in L.A., Laker fans, lifelong Laker fans, are pretty upset about the situation, because the organization, for the most part, from what we all know, wanted DeMar DeRozan, and he wanted to be in L.A. and Buddy Hield. But for whatever reason out there in the universe, LeBron James and Rich Paul elected to go with Westbrook, and Westbrook hasn't lived up to what Laker fans' expectations of him was going to be. And now you mentioned to me, right, you say we ain't got no draft picks, we got 10 free agents, all of that. That's why we mad, and that's why we panicking, and that's the reason.
Let's have a truth session about DeMar DeRozan, okay? Let's have a truth session. Number one, it wasn't just LeBron. Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and LeBron and Anthony Davis were all in for Russell Westbrook. They all said it. They all believed that was going to work. Number two, with all due respect to Magic Johnson, he is one of the greatest point guards of all time. He is not a salary cap expert. What he was discussing this week was just incorrect. If the Lakers had traded for DeMar DeRozan, they would not have been able to keep Alex Caruso. They would not have been able to go get Buddy Hield. When you receive a player in a sign and trade, you trigger a hard salary cap. It's one of the things that they put in the CBA to do competitive balance. They didn't want teams like Los Angeles be able to get guys inside in trades and keep spending money. So now, you know, if you would say to me, I'd rather have this ragtag group of supporting players with DeMar, LeBron, and AD as opposed to AD, LeBron, and Westbrook, that's a fair statement. But just so you know, when you analyze the DeRozan thing, because I saw Magic the other day saying, well, they could, you know, they may not have been able to even keep Talen Horton-Tucker and do DeMar DeRozan. So I just want that to be clear when you weigh the two sides of the option.
Brian Windhorst, the ESPN NBA insider. Wendy, what about this point Dave McMenamin made? Now, I'm not going to argue that Westbrook was a great idea, in retrospect especially, but many people thought at the time, right? But McMenamin made the point, they're 11-10 in the first 21 games they played together. Wendy, I think it is reasonable, particularly given Westbrook's recent history where he plays better as the season goes on. He's with new teammates on a new team every year. I think it's reasonable to say if they're 11-10 in their first 21 games, maybe they're better than that in their next 21 games. Maybe they're better than that. I think it's good likelihood in their next 21 games. Let's not do a whole season. Let's say that's about as it would be 60-something games altogether under, you know, if there wasn't just injury craziness, right? Well, okay, so that's a playoff team. That's a mid-pack playoff team. And, Wendy, in that case, at the trade deadline, the Lakers may have been more willing to adjust some things, bring in a 3-and-D guy or two, maybe trade a pick, something like that. What about that? That they were really, I understand it's predictable given age and injury history, but they were especially snake-bit this year.
There are some people who have won Oscars in Hollywood for hair and makeup that have done less impressive work that you just presented.
Thank you very much. I try.
So the Lakers right now are a 31-win team. I don't know. You know, they're playing the Thunder on Friday. I don't know if they're going to win again. I wouldn't play LeBron or AD again. So let's just give them one more win. Let's say they finish 32-50. How many more wins do you think this team would have this year if they were healthy?
Well, as again, if the three of them together are 11-10, let's say over their next 21 games, they're, you know, 12-9 or 13-8 or something like that, and then maybe even a little better than that. And at the deadline now, the Lakers are more willing to tweak the roster.
So are you going to give them 10 more wins? Are you going to give them 10 more wins?
I'd say that they'd be a mid-high 40-win team reasonably.
I think that is an insane statement. But,
really?
It, you know, just
when AD played less than half a season?
They're 11-10, and you just assume that if he keeps playing, they would be...
No, Wendy, I'm saying 11-10, and then their next 21 games, they're 12-9 or 13-8, and in the following 21 games, they're 13-8 or 12-9 or maybe slightly better.
It
adds up to 40-something wins in the end.
Denver, who is in right now fighting for the sixth seed, mm-hmm. okay? Denver is missing their second and third best player, okay? That's fair the whole year.
Okay.
They are 15 games over 500.
Yep.
Okay, Golden State missed Draymond Green for a huge swath of the season, missed Klay Thompson for a huge swath of the season, now has missed Steph for almost a month. They're 50-29.
They have the right surrounding pieces.
Yeah. Of various stages of a meltdown. They're 42. They're 47-32. The Lakers are 17 games under 500. So even if you're throwing, even if you're kicking the ball on the fairway, I mean, I think giving them 10 or 12 more wins next year is a gift with this current concept of a roster. But even if you do that, Max, even if we agree, let's say that they win 45 games. By the way, that would be an improvement in 13 wins. That would be like most improved team sort of situation.
Sure.
45 wins, you know where that would have them?
Not good enough.
Back in the play. Yep. Back in the play-in.
Yep. But I can't abide that.
I'm sorry, I can't abide that.
I mean, I do think that that would also trigger different behavior at the trade deadline and things like that. But I get the point. This is not a championship nucleus.
So I wanted to ask
you a question. Do you know who they could have traded for at the trade deadline? Do you know what like deal that they had on the table?
Tell us, please.
They could have traded for Alec Burks and Cam Reddish. Do you think trading for Alec Burks and Cam Reddish would have gotten them significantly? That's the type of trade that they
could have
made.
Given the injuries to, especially to AD. No.
So wait, Wendy. So moving forward, understanding, and you understand it more than anybody else, this unique dynamic between Clutch, LeBron, Genie, Rob Pelinka. How does it work moving forward, considering they've hit rock bottom?
So to me, this is all about where is LeBron at mentally? Is he willing to, because he does love living in LA and he loves being a Laker. And look, they've got the banner. Like if you want to feel better about yourself as a Laker fan, and you want to feel better about yourself as Rob Pelinka or LeBron, go get your ring out and look at it. That's there. Nobody can take that away from them. And they did it. They climbed the mountaintop. They've proven themselves. But is LeBron seriously going to want to spend what he's got left on a team that's in this sort of state? Maybe the answer is yes. You know, the 37, 38-year-old LeBron is different than the 32-year-old LeBron. But he's got a decision starting on August 4th. Does he extend his contract or not? And I don't know what the Lakers are going to be able to do. And it's not even like – it's just their hands are tied. They don't have many options. They have no draft picks. You know, that's the thing. Rob Pelinka is actually terrific at drafting. Since he's been the GM, he's done great with his draft picks. But he has no picks to draft. So, like, I'm not sure there's anything that they can do, and I just wonder if LeBron's going to be cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, the question I asked is who says no if they were – I'm just wondering who says no. The Lakers tell the Knicks, you got to take Westbrook's – you're getting an AD, but you got to take Westbrook's contract.
The Knicks say no.
And we get to pick anything we want. We just put the package together out of whatever you got. I wonder who says no to that. I guess the Knicks say no, but the more I think about it, I just don't know.
I don't – Anthony Davis, when he's healthy – by the way, Anthony Davis' stats this year were still pretty good.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, when he was healthy and out there. I mean, like, I know he didn't have a great season, but he was still really good. And that's what's so stunning to me about all this, is I say 11 and 10 and we haggle about what they were going to do.
Yeah.
They were 11 and 10, even with AD playing pretty well. Was he at his best? No. But look, his shooting is higher than it was last year. His scoring is higher than it was last year. I think his rebounding is even up over year. LeBron is having a spectacular season. You know, those guys are still putting up those numbers. I mean, the idea that the Portland Trailblazers, who are executing one of the most incredible tank jobs in the history of tanking, I know nobody talks about it. I can't tell you the tank job that Portland is doing. Portland has more wins in the second half of the season than the Lakers do.
Unreal. Brian Windhorst, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Wendy, as always.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, you heard it. We're playing Hot News or Not News. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80 with Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. What's going on, Kimberly?
Hello, hello, hello.
Are you ready for this?
Hello.
Kimberly's TV ready. Even when she's on radio, she's TV ready. Stays ready.
Stay ready.
Kimberly, Tyrann Mathieu visits the Saints.
Yes.
Is that hot news or not news?
It's hot news. There are a lot of storylines there. Hometown kid goes home. Even Tyrann kind of feels like they don't need me. This is a Saints defense that has lost some guys, but they've also signed like a Marcus May. They've added some guys in free agency. So they may not need him, but he does add his versatility. You can play him all over the field. He does make their defense better. So I think it is hot news.
Yeah, it is hot news for everything that Kimberly's talked about. When you look at going home, hometown hero, mm-hmm. versatility, all of, he brings a certain tenacity to the New Orleans Saints. I hope he signs with them.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
I hope he does.
I think it's huge. I think it's real hot news. Tyrann Mathieu is just real good. You know, when you add a fundamentally good player to a defense, the defense should get better, mm-hmm. not be dependent on, oh, they got lucky, they got turnovers. Mm-hmm. Just be a good defense. He's one of them dudes. To me, he is, at least.
I still like to call him the Honey Badger, though.
Yeah, Honey Badger, for sure.
Yeah.
Honey Badger don't care. Tom Brady says, I want to go out there and have my best year yet, Kimberly. Hot news or not news?
It's not hot news because that's a Brady thing. Brady's going to say that. It would be hot news if he does have his best year ever, because this is not a Bucs team that's returning the same roster as it did a year ago. That was last year's storyline. This roster will look a little bit different. They're aging at different positions. And Chris Godwin hurt, so they won't have him until later in the year. So not really hot news to me.
Yeah, not news at all. Move on, Max.
Move along, Max.
It would be news if he was like, I'm going to have my worst season ever. That'd be news.
I'm going to retire, for real.
Rob Gronkowski, on the other hand, has not made a decision on playing another season. Is that hot news?
So it's hot news from the standpoint of, I hope Rob Gronkowski is on this roster by week one. But it is April. So the fact that he's saying, I don't know how I feel right now, he still has some time. But if he is not on this roster, that is a big deal for Brady and this offense. Like I said, does not have Chris Godwin. You need somebody else besides a Leonard Fournette. They need some pieces. You can't just have Mike Evans out there.
Yeah, it's not news to me because it's Gronkowski.
And you're just going to wait.
Much like Kimberly said, it's April.
Right.
Gronk is enjoying the offseason.
Did you call him the Gronk? I like that.
Yeah.
The Gronk.
The Gronk is enjoying offseason.
How have we not put the in front of Gronk this whole time?
The Gronk.
We're doing that.
The Gronk.
Listen, the Gronk. You know what he's going to do? He's not going to train.
He's not going to do any of that stuff that all these guys don't want to do.
If I'm Gronk, I'm showing up week six. You want him fresh for the playoffs.
You know, he'll be jumping off some balcony somewhere into a pool with beer. You know, just.
That dude's winning.
The Gronk,
is one of them dudes winning at life.
Yes.
The
Amen.
Eagles trade, as it pertains to Jalen Hurts' future, Kimberly, with all the draft picks, hot news or not news?
It is hot news because it's about quarterbacks. And right now, the Eagles have said, Jalen, we think you can be the guy. Now, prove to us that you can be the guy long term. But it's hot news because the Eagles have given themselves an insurance policy. Now they have multiple first-round picks next year in the event that Jalen Hurts does not prove that he can be the guy long term.
It is hot news. And a lot of what Kimberly is saying, you think about it, it gives him an opportunity now to not have to necessarily look over his shoulder right now, but also prove to them that they could just not worry about a quarterback for the long term future, because one of the things that's going to come up is his contract.
Mm-hmm.
His contract is going to come up at the end of the year. It's important for him to ball out. That's why it's going to be hot news.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 6 top quarterback prospects set to visit the Panthers next week. Kimberly, hot news or not news?
It's hot news because it's the Panthers. All these top QB prospects are going to visit everybody. But the Panthers, this was a team I covered in the draft last year. They were adamant about Sam Darnold. They believed in Sam. They took J.C. Horn. Now this franchise is in desperate need of a franchise QB after getting rid of Teddy, having Cam in, not knowing what they have in Sam. They have an impatient owner. They have a coach on the hot seat, and they really need an answer at QB right away.
It is hot news, but I don't think any of these quarterbacks that are coming out in this year's draft is better than a healthy Sam Darnold with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. So I don't know what you're getting out of Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. Willis is not ready to go yet. Sam Howell is And then who else is left that I'm missing? Matt Corral. I mean, it's like
Corral's kind of a wild card, right?
You know what are you looking at?
Yeah.
What are you honestly looking at?
But Corral, you're not gonna have to spend one of your top, you know, a top pick on
Especially
Corral.
Maybe. That's if I'm getting ready to get fired as a coach, I don't want any of them dudes. Go get me a
Deshaun
Watson.
And where the Panthers are picking as well. Do you take somebody, you know, who are you taking that high?
Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, Kimberly, says the neck injury is no longer a concern. Hot news or not news?
I mean, I guess it's hot news because it's QB news. Like, I just don't want to hear any more talking out of Daniel Jones. I just want to see you actually win games and prove, are you the guy, you're not the guy? Like, we just need to answer that question once and for all and move on.
It's hot news because you're talking about a neck. And, yes, there's no concern, as Kimberly would say, in April. But they'll be concerned in September if something happens to you. That's why Tyrod Taylor is ready to go.
Yeah, it's hot news, and I have nothing against Daniel Jones. I like what he says. It's just that he's not, so far, he hasn't been that good, especially for a top six pick. He was a sixth pick in the draft. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Great, as always, to see you, Kimberly. Tiger Woods might be the greatest in his sport. But does that make him an elite athlete? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So we're just kicking it around. Like, you know, Tiger Woods is the one guy who gets people to watch golf, right? He's good for ratings.
Yeah.
So we're thinking of who's box office, right? Like, who's the one dude who he's in a movie, you're going to see it. Now, this is a lot about branding, right? Like, someone like Will Smith, for example, is a popular figure. He's likable, recent events notwithstanding, for some people. But he's the fact is, that means he gets to pick and choose who he works with. If he does that well, you start associating. Every time I see a Will Smith movie, it's a good movie because he works with the top people.
For the most part.
Right? Mm-hmm. So who has done that to the point in your lifetime where you're like, that dude gets me or woman gets me to the movie?
My dog, Denzel Washington. It's not a question.
Denzel's that dude. Denzel's he's in a movie, you're going to see it. He's one of them for me, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be Denzel. Robert De Niro.
De Niro was that for me, too. Okay. You guys
De Niro,
are hitting
them. Yep. Denzel, Al Pacino, he used to be, but then he got me to the left. He did some stuff, and I'm like,
Pacino,
Not.
That's what I mean. It erodes if you don't choose your projects well.
Yeah.
De Niro started doing that when he opened up the Tribeca thing. He started having to take some roles, and then it kind of went away.
Yeah. Arnold, for sure.
What about
Schwarzenegger?
Leo?
Listen. Okay. Yeah. Schwarzenegger, for me, sure, I love De Niro, love Denzel. Oh,
get in the chopper!
Schwarzenegger, there was about 15 years. If that dude was in a movie, you got my money.
So every Terminator movie.
Huh?
You know every Terminator movie. Though.
Everything.
Of course.
Anything that he is in, Jay, I'm watching.
Running Man, Terminator.
All that.
Running Man.
Predator.
All
of them that Total I can Recall. Think of. It's True Lies, though.
True Lies.
I can watch True Lies till I mean, I could just watch it every single day if it comes on.
You ever see Twins? I went to see Twins.
Danny DeVito.
If Schwarzenegger was in a movie, I was there.
And actors all play a certain role, right, in their movies. They're always playing the same character, so to speak.
Not really.
Yeah, Denzel's characters are always kind of the same, especially now.
He was dope in McBride. I don't know if you guys have seen
They're all kind of the same.
Yeah, not everyone's like Jeffrey Wright is like a chameleon. He can be anything. But most leading men, you're expecting to be
like
cast
Arnold
a certain way.
Arnold has a little more, to me, for whatever reason, he had a little more diversity. First, he started off as an action guy, didn't say a whole lot.
Comedy.
Then he moved into some other stuff.
Politics. I mean, that dude did everything.
So I would say out of all of them, Denzel would be one.
Eddie Murphy.
Denzel, De Niro.
No.
Oh, Eddie Murphy for a
short stint. The back end, though. The back end catalog.
Man, y'all talking about Coming to America, man. Get out of here.
Hold on. Trading Golden Places, 48
yeah,
Hours.
Yeah, that was early.
The
that
front
was a long
end.
Time
that's what I'm
ago.
Saying. The back end catalog. No.
You're not watching Golden Child.
No, that's
Give
the one.
Me the
that's
knife,
the one.
Please.
Can may I please have the knife? No, but I'll tell you what. I'll watch when he does Every Member of the Family, The Clumps. I'll watch that. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Would you not say Tiger Woods is not an elite athlete?
No, I would not say that.
No, I would
you
say...
You would not
I
say
would,
Tiger Woods is
say,
an elite athlete?
No, I would say... No, I would say Tiger's an elite. Tiger is.
That may be... Okay, he may be. I don't think you can demonstrate that just by playing golf. I don't know how fast he runs, how high he jumps, all that kind of
stuff. You know anything about him being an elite athlete?
No, he's got some...
Come on, Max.
He's got some athletic traits in him.
Come on, man.
Max, that's a horrific take.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
Dudes wearing makeup are not going to tell me that golfers aren't athletes.
On the other hand, I could also argue that if you can go to dinner, like a nice dinner and what you wore to play the game, that maybe that's not the most athletic game in the world. Like, you could wear golf clothes right into a nice dinner. No one will look twice.
No,
ooh,
you
nice
can't
shirt,
wear,
nice pants.
No, just, I've tried. You can't wear spikes to a nice restaurant.
You could wear golf shoes, though.
Just because you can argue it doesn't mean that you should argue it.
Well, that's your opinion.
I could wear the same thing a boxer does in the ring to go to the local pool and just sit next to the pool.
That's not a nice restaurant. That's true, because a boxer is obviously an athlete and has to be dressed accordingly.
So swimming is athletics to you?
I think that swimming demonstrates a lot of athletic ability, yes. And golf demonstrates some,
too. Why? Because there's more movement.
Golf demonstrates some, too. I'm just saying, like, there are dudes in the D-League who are six men who are better athletes.
Michael Phelps isn't a great athlete?
No, I didn't say that.
Just like People Magazine. They're better-looking people than some of the people that they make – Man of the Year or most
You're
beautiful
You're looking
people,
at one of them.
Most beautiful people, Jay. Have you ever looked at the magazine and people and been like, well, why am I not on the cover? That dude doesn't look better than me.
Yes, I think that every day.
See, Max.
Only Max.
That's the line of the day, though, from Michael Collins. I'm not going to let a dude wear makeup for a living tell me that this dude's not an athlete. It's true.
I got to be honest. I am really glad that I baited you into that take today.
Yeah, you did.
I was thinking about it all morning. I said, how do I get Max to really say how he truly feels?
Like Houdini once said, friends like that, you don't need enemies.
So what we got? Right. What are we doing down the stretch? Tiger chasing Jack.
Listen, this is we're talking about it. Tiger, the options to in this last segment, you voted on them, at Key, Jay, and Max. Gronk's future, 8%. 14% said we should talk NBA MVP. 32% said Lakers missed the playoffs. But 46% said Tiger chasing Jack. And I'm not going to let you paint baby in a corner, whatever this expression is, because this is a great human interest story. Like, if Tiger, he's never going to catch Jack. Then he had the herniated disc. Then he had the car crash. If he, forget about even this Masters, he wins one more major, he's two away, Key.
No, that's close. That's close. And in golf, you can play a little extended age, meaning like you can get into your 50s and still be on the tour and being dominant. And I understand what Jay is saying, that because of the injuries and all the other stuff, but several years ago, many people, not you probably, Jay, but many people counted Tiger out based on his absence at a dominant level from the sport. Then all of a sudden he won the Masters and everybody like, oh, damn. He won. Can he catch him?
I'm not counting him out.
The conversation started again. And he got into the accident. Now everybody thinks, oh, well, he's done. He's going to retire. He's just going to raise his son playing golf. Now the dude is going to announce he's playing in the Masters, potentially.
Look, no, I have no problem with people trying to say it's something that could be attainable. Like, it's Tiger Woods. Of course I believe it's attainable. I just don't sometimes like how we have to make it where it's like, if he doesn't do that, that he's not considered the greatest. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell you, this dude is the greatest I've ever seen.
Well, you didn't live through the Nicklaus era either.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the reasons. We didn't live through the Nicklaus era, and he has three more than Tiger. So,
and a lot more wins in tournaments that aren't majors. Like a lot of first, second, and third place finishes in wins, like much more than Tiger. But it feels like,
and I don't know, you have to tell me, it feels like there's better golfers now.
I think because of Tiger, there are better
than
golfers.
Than there were then. It's almost like the baseball stuff with Mickey Mantles and all them. Yeah, but I wouldn't play it back then, all right? Babe Ruth.
Comparing errors, yes.
Yeah, it's comparing errors.
Tiger, this is the irony of Tiger Woods. He was so influential off the field of play that parents of athletic children put golf clubs in their hands, and now Tiger, at 46, with his leg all messed up, his back and everything, has to compete against them. But he did it as recently as 2 years ago, 3 years ago, won the Masters.
Let me say this. If Tiger Woods, at 46, after having an accident 13, 14 months ago, comes back and wins the Masters, is this the greatest comeback story we've seen in the history of sports?
No.
It's not.
We'll see.
George Foreman came back after 20 years after losing the heavyweight title to Muhammad Ali. 20 years later in his 40s and won the heavyweight championship
of the world.
But did
he have 8 back surgeries, 9 toe surgeries, 12 new legs?
No, but some dude was trying to punch him in his face while he was doing it.
He got into a horrific car accident where he almost died. Tiger Woods. Right leg had to be reconstructed.
Tiger Woods had to put his body back together, Max.
In 14 months?
Come on, now.
That's 14 months?
You're getting ready to dig yourself another hole.
No, it's golf. You can't compare it to a fight.
Oh, God.
Tiger Woods, 5-time Masters champion at the Masters press conference. Listen to this.
You've said countless times throughout your career that you don't enter a golf tournament unless you think that you can win it. Mm-hmm. So the question is simple. Do you think you can win the Masters this week?
I do. Well, I think that the fact that I was able to get myself here to this point is a success. And now that I'm playing. Now everything is focused on how do I get myself into a position where I'm on that back nine on Sunday with a chance, just like I did, a few years ago.
He ain't lying. Why? As they say, no lies detected,
yeah,
right?
I'm ready to sign up for all things Tiger.
Yep, I agree.
I'm just trying to tell you guys, man, it's appointment TV. I got this place on the couch. I've already told my wife, my best friend. My nephew is coming in town. I told him, hey, look, don't have me out here entertaining the kids. I am watching the Masters. I'm watching to see if Tiger makes the cut.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be watching
it. I'll find out about it.
I'm going to catch him when he gets to the back nine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to catch him.
Exactly. You'll catch him on Sunday.
When social.
If he's there Sunday, then I will find time to watch him end it, if that's the case.
When social media blows up, Tiger's right there. He's only 2 strokes behind.
Max,
then I'll turn it on. Yeah.
Call me at that point, Jay.
If Tiger makes a cut, social media is going to blow up anyway.
Yeah, and that's all check in.
If he has one amazing shot, two amazing shots, you're going to watch.
I'll check in and check out, but I can't, as much as I like Tiger, I can't just sit there and do that.
Yeah, there's a sandwich I got to eat. I got some stuff to do.
With mayonnaise on it.
What'd you say, Evan?
No, Jay's right, though. Like, tomorrow, Tiger Woods tees off at 10:34. So, he tees off in, 24 and a half hours from now, right? If he's, two under through five holes,
you watch
social media is going to explode.
By the way, people agree with my Tiger take, too. Not just, people.
Don't know
people. What number
Riley
of people?
Riley in South Carolina.
Yeah, but I don't know
he knows the world is
yet.
Round.
I'm
not going to sail off the flat earth. Go ahead, Riley.
Man, listen, Key,
yo.
Jay, I love you guys to death, man. Want to have a beer with you one day. That's on my bucket list. But come on, man. Tiger ain't no athlete, man. Come on, man. Listen, lacrosse, I can give you lacrosse, swimming, rugby, all these guys. If you can call them an athlete, they're at the bottom rung of the ladder.
Get them, Riley.
Give you that much.
Get them, Riley.
That's just how I feel about it because right now, as a 47-year-old man, I can go out there and swing some golf clubs. I can't go out there and do what you did.
But Raleigh,
I can't do it.
Raleigh, have you ever swung a golf club?
I have.
And how'd it go? How'd it go, Raleigh?
I ain't on Tiger level. I give you that much. But what I'm saying is the athleticism isn't as required as when it was when Key was playing and Jay was playing at that level. Come on, man. Like, and then just to touch on the last subject you guys were talking on, I live here in Charleston, South Carolina. When Tiger came down to the Ocean Course here at Kiowa, we got golf courses all over the place. Golf was big here. Nobody ran to see Tiger. But when Venus and Serena was at the Volvo Cup here at the tennis tournament, everybody in the hood ran to see the girls play, man.
Yeah, I'm so, with you on that. Yeah,
just describing
that's
his
talking
experience.
About that one, Raleigh.
You know?
No,
I'm just being real. No, I'm just being real because Venus and Serena took their hood with them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They took their hood with them. The whole ride, they took their hood with them. I can't do that.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do to the experience of the listeners is try to bring them inside of what I think the black community vision of the two or three different athletes are. That's just me, but whatever.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Max is wrong!
Acid 9.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.